everybody, and welcome to the EC Method. I am one of your coaches, Chloe Madeley.
And I am your other coach, Emma Story Gordon. Our goal at the EC Method is to encourage, educate, and empower you to get the results that you've always wanted.
Listen to our weekly podcasts, go to our website, theecmethod.co.uk, or simply follow us on Instagram to get more information.
Hello, welcome to this episode. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We were just talking about my tooth extraction.
Show everyone.
Oh, this doesn't look great. It also, it's kind of like it's a black tooth, not like there's just a gap. Also, you know how it's mega trendy at the top to have a gap? No, no, I'd have to have one at the bottom.
Not the bottom. James has got, like, I don't know, he got his teeth knocked out when he was like 16 in a rugby game, and they put, I don't know, it looks like he's got black here, but it's not. I don't know, that's why Invisalign is the first thing he's doing, then the whitening, then the teeth, because apparently he's got to whiten the teeth so that they match the new teeth.
Oh, okay.
So he's,
yeah, like, I said that. I was like, can I not just whiten my teeth now? And they're like, no, wait till you've done Invisalign. I'm like, what, a year? Can't just white, like. But I've noticed, like, my top teeth are way whiter now because I'm always wearing a brace.
Oh, really? So they're just, what, like, stain reduction?
I think so, yeah.
It's such a cop-out when people are, like, teeth whitener, and then you read the fine print on the back and it's, like, prevent stain reduction. It's like, you're not whitening, you're just prevention. I don't care about you. I've already done the damage.
Yes. How was your weekend?
I feel like it all fell apart at the seams. I was meant to go to my brother's. So I was meant to go to a first birthday party on Saturday, and Bodhi's naps all just got completely messed up because she's teething. She's not sleeping. It's a nightmare. I had to buy a blackout blind because I'm also a little bit suspicious that it's the new sunlight. Anyway, couldn't do that. And then, oh no, that was on Sunday. Oh, on the Saturday, I was meant to go to my brother's party, birthday party, which, lol, ended up being in the Daily Mail online, which made my day.
Wait, why?
Because he's a talent management agent, so he's got loads of celeb clients, and they all just got papped getting pissed outside this pub. And so, and my brother, his dietary staples are bread and rosé, and in every photo, it's him, bread and rosé. And this makes me so happy. So I missed his birthday, but he didn't care. He was too drunk to care. He was fine. And it just was a bit of a shit show, really. I ended up working all weekend. How was your weekend? What did you do? Where did you go?
I had a good weekend. There was a lot of drama. Probably nothing I can say on the podcast. We'll just leave it at that. It was an unexpected weekend.
You're one of these non-dramatic people that tends to find yourself right in the centre of drama.
You know what? It's being gay. It's being gay in Scotland. Like, everyone's dated everyone.
Well, obviously. Yeah. That's not surprising.
No. So, yeah, not ideal. But, you know, fine. It was a nice weekend. Went for a nice walk.
This is the difference between us. I'd be like, so here's my drama, guys. You're like, I can't talk about
it. I feel like I can't say without, like, really it can't being say obvious who it's about. And then that wouldn't be great.
No, you can't say. I would stop you before you. Because it really is drama. Like, there's no, it's that, yeah, it's a full on. Okay, so.
Oh, no, it's not that. It's something very different.
Is it something new?
Yeah, I'll tell you after.
Jesus, Emma.
We've got nothing on the live yet, but I am in the right group, so yeah. Good.
Okay, so let me.
I also got, like, a sudden rush of excitement for the meetup.
I know, me too. It's very exciting.
I'm like, oh, it's quite soon.
Yeah,
well, it's not that soon.
I know it. Depends how much you've got.
Stress, Chloe.
Not too stressy, it's fine. It's not a stressy fit. It's not a stressy meetup. It'll be organized at the drop of a hat. Well, it already is, basically. We've just got to get one box ticked and we're done. Okay. Vicky Keelan. Hi, I'm wondering if I should drop my calories. I'm 5'5", 62 kg, and on 1,600 calories. 62 kg. I do 3 gym workouts per week and a Peloton. I'm on 12,000 steps a day. I only have 5 pounds to lose, but it's just not moving. Thank you. So what week is this now? Is this the beginning of week 3?
Yeah.
I would say So she's doing 84k steps a week, 1600 calories, 5.562. I think you're fine on these numbers. However, if you want to speed up your rate of loss, then maybe come down to 1500 calories, and it's only like the most minor thing, but it might move the needle a little bit. And maybe throw in another Peloton. But I, at that point, would say that you're in a pretty significant deficit. I would also say that at 5'5" and 62 kg, you're much more likely to see your results take shape visually. So with progress pictures every 4 weeks rather than on the scales, because you simply don't have that much to lose at 5'5" and 62 kg. So yes, you can move the needle a little with the small things, additions that I've just said, but I actually think for once monthly progress pictures would be better suited to your stats. Emma.
Could not agree more. And this is, I actually think this is a really good point to hammer home, because this has come up a few times this weekend in the group. Tracy falls into this as well, where actually you don't have, when you're like, I only have 5 pounds to lose, or you don't have much left to lose, and you're quite a small person, you're not going to see results on the scales. Mm-hmm. So you need to stop looking there. Or, you know, if you do, it's going to be very marginal over a long period of time, especially if you're maintaining muscle mass, which obviously we want you to do.
Mm.
So you need to start taking progress photos, measurements, setting performance marker goals, like things like pull-ups are really, really useful. Or like, even if it's assisted pull-ups, like how many you can do with X amount of assistance. So I would really start thinking about that. As opposed to you, the other point to make here is that if you're already on 1600 calories, you're a small woman, you don't have much fat to lose, this is where, as Chloe said, rightly said, you can drop your calories. It would slightly speed up the process, which will be slow anyway, because if there's not much fat to lose, it's going to be slow, end of. You could drop your calories, but this is where we often see adherence slip, which obviously means actually then you don't get better results, right? So from 1600 to 1500 is only 100 less calories, but at low calories already, it can be quite hard to do and leaves you way less flexibility. So on 1600, you might, don't know, eat 1500 during the week and have an extra 500 on the weekend so that you can go for brunch. And that's really nice and enjoyable, and it gives you that flexibility. When you're on 1500 and you're trying to hit all the boxes with 1400 during the week, so you've still got flexibility on the weekend, like, it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and it's harder to have the flexibility. So when you're on low calories already, sometimes dropping isn't the right thing, because actually on average over time you're not going to be in a bigger deficit, because you end up slipping up a little bit more. So it's just a consideration to make. Now it seems like, I mean, it doesn't really seem like lazy coaching, but like the only way that you'll be able to figure that out is by really being like self-assessing yourself, like, am I really adherent on 1600 calories? Because if I'm not, then there's no way you should be dropping your calories. And do you think that you could drop 100 calories a day and it not impact your adherence? Now, you might not know that until you try, but you're going to have more of an idea than like what we will. So I guess the question is, how are you feeling on current calories? Do you think you could drop? From those stats, you will be in a deficit, but you're probably not going to see big drops on the scales because you simply don't have a lot of fat to lose.
Yeah, I mean, completely agree. There's I think Bill Campbell just published a new study on dietary adherence via metabolic adaptation. And if these stats are stats that you're sticking to, then we know that it's not a decrease in expenditure, which would mean it might be dietary adherence. And again, every time you say that, people are like, no, I know that. It's like, you'd be surprised if you've been dieting for a really long time as well, like how much your subconscious will kind of, I guess, turn a blind eye at certain things, or you might even genuinely not realize it. Like, we've said this on the last podcast, I've said it before, how many fucking clients over the years have been like, oh, I have milky tea and sugar every day, more than one, and I don't track it. And it's like, well, that's your deficit. If you're only in a 10% deficit, which is effective but small, you know, it's not, you know, a lot of people would recommend doing a 20%, getting in, getting out, you know what I mean? If you're only in a 10% deficit, that's it. That's your deficit gone, and now you're at maintenance. So yeah, but every point Emma made. Anything on the live?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, hi Clemma, Ruth. Hopefully a quick one for you. I understand, I think, that compound exercises are those which recruit multiple muscles and are the priority for progressive overload. Yes to the former, no to the latter, but I think I know why you've said that. Can you explain what is meant? Yeah, it is what I think you mean. Can you explain what is meant by accessory exercises and whether we should be aiming for progression on these as well? Thank you. So I think that you've read a Q&A thing I did. Maybe it's a post. I think it's a Q&A. No, actually, maybe it was something we talked about on here. No, I know what it was. It was an Instagram live. Obviously, to promote the EC method, because I know don't still have so much, I absolutely have to. Right. So what Ruth is saying, and I do think I've touched on it on these lives as well, is so progressive overload. So we talk about, first of all, what is volume? As we've talked about multiple times before, volume is weight times sets times reps. Now, yeah, we talked about this on a recent live, didn't we? Now, in terms of your big compound lifts, where you generate a lot of power and a lot of force, like your squat, your bench, your deadlift, and there are a few others. I hit a PB on my bent over barbell rows today. Thank you.
Well, what did you get?
45 kg, which for me on a bent over barbell.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Anyway, so on those big compound movements, which generate a lot of force, you're going to be a lot better to aim for progressive overload over time by, well, a lot more able, I should say, by increasing the weight, the intensity of the load that you're lifting. Because they're big muscle groups, they're big, power, strong compound movements. And that's a go. Add to that, if you were to try and do it over time by adding reps, and we say like going up to, as the data would suggest for optimal hypertrophy, a 30 rep max kind of top aim, your rate of perceived exertion in the lift, because these are big taxing as well on the cardiovascular system, these are big taxing lifts, your rate of perceived exertion is probably going to hit before your actual failure. So really what we want to do is increase the load lifted, and that's how we aim for progressive overload. Now, with the smaller muscle groups, like a tricep or a shoulder, a delt, for example, you're a lot less likely to be able to increase load over time. A lot of you watching will know, you hit your 6 years, you're done. So you're not going to be able to hit progressive overload over time by increasing the load lifted. What you're much better off doing is aiming for progressive overload over time via sets or reps. Okay. So as you've got the compound exercise definition right, I think your understanding of progressive overload is too singular and it's not seeing the big picture. And by accessory exercises, typically what you mean are, these are lifts which are going to help with your big compound movements. And that really only applies to like powerlifters and strength athletes. So for example, doing shoulder work and tricep work would be accessory lifts to a bench press to make them better. And I hope that sums it up. Emma.
I don't think I have anything to add. I think I'd just be repeating what you said. So excellent answer.
Fab, your turn. Anything on the live?
Yes. Okay, Samantha, I never track milk in my tea. I've been losing without those. Should I change this? So basically, if what you're doing is working, there's no need to change it. Mm-hmm. The other thing to do, because tracking the milk in your tea is quite boring, you could just say, I'm having roughly X amount of teas per day. And then just be like, right, that's about 100 calories, or that's about 200 calories. Cool, I'll just like have 200 calories less if I know that's what I'm going to have every single day. And you've said here you're having about 5, no sugar, just sweetener and a dash of milk, which is totally fine, right? It's not going to add up to a huge amount, but equally, it doesn't matter that you're not tracking it, because you're losing weight and you're getting the results that you want. So I wouldn't stress about it until you get to a point that you reach a plateau, and then you might be like, okay, let's reassess what's going on here. And maybe I need to account for all of these little things. But at the moment, like as an example, like if you're someone listening and you're getting away with, like you're getting results from just roughly tracking things, there's absolutely no need to track more carefully. Like you're getting results already, so don't change it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then Kanchan's just saying, you're a beast, Chloe.
Why?
Why? Because you did your 45 kilogram row.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if that's good. I can't even remember what I was doing before. Like, I genuinely have no memory of what I was doing.
Are you going to have like a pre-baby PB and a post-baby PB? I mean, I'm sure you'll beat your pre-baby PB at some point anyway.
I'm not strong. I have been lifting the same weights on the same lifts for a really, I mean, I've been lifting for 12 years. And I would say I haven't had a PB in it at least 4 years. And I don't care to switch up my training to get one because that's not why I train. My body's looking pretty like physique at the moment, which is all I really wanted. And I don't care if that makes me sound like a little bitch. It's like, I love lifting weights, but I'm not going to absolutely kill myself and alter the training that I love and enjoy to get an added 2.5 kg on a back squat. I don't care.
I don't care about that at all anymore. I'm like, it feels good. It makes me feel good. I want to look good. That's it. I don't really care exactly what weight that I'm lifting.
I agree.
All right, up to date.
Okay. Oh, best name ever. And a first name, last name, last name, first name. Genevieve Cameron. Genevieve.
Oh, Genevieve.
Genevieve. James walked in the other day wearing a Givenchy t-shirt. And I was like, are you wearing Givenchy? He was like, do you mean Givenchy? I was like, no, you dick. I mean Givenchy.
Oh.
I'm like, where? And then do you know what I found out? I was like, where are you getting? Because I've noticed he started wearing like more like designer duds. And I was like, where are you getting them from? Do you know what I found out? Homeboy has got a personal stylist who works at Mr. Porter, who I shit you fucking not is the hottest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. She's like a more beautiful version of Beyonce. And he showed me a photo of her. I was like, fuck off, that's your personal shopper. He was like,
oh my God.
I was like, you best believe I'll read the thread, but it was all about clothes. Anyway, so Genevieve says, after the segue into my personal life again. Okay, I'm returning from the class of 2021 and it's so great to be back with you guys. Can you please explain the differences and pros and cons of a dumbbell chest press and a bench press? I have been dumbbell chest pressing 16s, very good, for around a year, and I still find them challenging, and I always hit failure by rep 10 on my final set. I don't have the confidence to try the 18s, as I feel they will fall on my head. Is there any benefit to moving on to the bar? If so, any tips for getting started, as I'm intimidated by this piece of kit. Many thanks. Well, first of all, your chest pressing 16 dumbbells is amazing. So you should be really proud of that. Second of all, I don't think you'll really struggle with the 18s if you're hitting 10 reps with 16s. I think you'll have to reduce your reps, and I can understand why you're hesitant. But I think that you'll be absolutely fine to A, get them up in the air. Just remember a nice big push with your knees, or a spot. Someone who can help you get them up will really ease your confidence. But I think you'll be fine to get them up and reduce your reps. I think you will be stronger if you move over to the bench, and I think you'll feel less intimidated by it. But I will let Emma pick up there because I think you're doing her gym workout.
Yeah, I actually think bench might be good, because getting dumbbells up, even with a spot, is sometimes just a little bit like, because you do have to use momentum, right? So you're kind of like, oh, and then like, and then your first rep's a bit shaky, and then you're sometimes not in the right line exactly. Whereas one of the benefits of bench press is you start at the top of the movement, definitely get a good spot. But then you're like there, you're ready, you're set, and then you're like, yeah, let go of the bar, then you've got the bar, you do your press, whatever. So I would probably suggest, if you want to build strength in that area, that getting a good spotter and doing bench press is probably going to be better than doing dumbbells. I'm just laughing at Kanchan. Hit up Dame Judy Bench. But yeah, I think if I was looking to increase weight, I would probably move over to the bench. But I agree with Chloe, like if you're getting 10 reps on 16s, you can absolutely do at least 6 reps on 18s.
Who made the Dame Judy bench comment?
Yes.
And Chan.
Yeah.
Are we done on the live?
Yeah.
Caroline Rigby. Hello, ladies. I have endo and at times I struggle, but really with fatigue more than with pain. I've come back to the EC method after having... Okay, there's a typo here. After having my endo operation in November, And I'm ready to shed those extra pounds gained from getting into the habit while recovering of sitting on the sofa in my spare time. I must say all my symptoms have improved dramatically since starting this again, especially the fatigue element. I am now like a new woman. Thank you. I feel like that's not a question. That's just, hey, this is what's going on with me and I'm here for it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you're already doing this, but if fatigue is a problem, which it is for many people, whether that's menopause, whether that's endo, whether that's chronic fatigue syndrome or anything of that nature, making sure that you're keeping like a bit of a diary of when you're feeling most fatigued, and then even just having like lower targets for those times when you're having either a bit of a flare up or just like lower fatigue or higher fatigue days is always a good thing to have. But apart from that, it sounds like you're doing excellently well. Excellent.
Happy for you, because I've had so many clients over the years struggle with endo, and I know how upsetting it can be, and painful. I'm happy for you that you've figured out a solution and gone for it. Okay, Liz Mossop. Hello, lovelies. All is going worryingly well, and I'm enjoying rowing my little heart out. I'm using NutriCheck, and I have had a look at what's been going on since I started. I haven't hit 40 grams of fat, not once. Normally it's between 25 and the high 30s. How much does this matter? Fat is so expensive. I think I just must be spending my calories elsewhere. I'm under on calories most days. Is it time to be eating peanut butter from the jar? Well, okay, so 0.5 per kg of lean mass. So, and for me, I mean, I normally say aim for 40, but the basement would really be like in the 30s. 25 to me is too low. I just don't think it's going to be having a great effect on you.
If you're saying that fat is so quote unquote expensive, but actually you've not quote unquote spent all your calories anyway.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem. If you were like, oh, you know, I'm struggling to stay within calories and my fat's really low, that would be a slightly different, well, we'd still say increase your fat, but it's a harder discussion. Whereas if you're below calories anyway, it's like, just increase your fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, Sinead is saying, I have endo too, and I struggle with core exercises that target lower abs when I have bad cramps. Any suggestions, please? Just take them out.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't have endo and I won't do that on my period. Although, you know what's interesting? Since my C-section, my period cramps are a whole other different thing. Like, it's a whole
worse.
I wouldn't necessarily say worse. I would say completely different. And I noticed this as well. Like, if I've got like a tummy bug and my bowels are not well, the crampings are different. That is worse. And obviously, it's a cut into that whole area, but it's just like, whoa. Yeah, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Most people who have got really bad period cramps won't do any ab work. I don't do ab work when I'm due on. It's icky. Also the pressure and the, no.
Yeah. I mean, I barely do ab work when I'm not due on, but yeah.
You don't need to. You're rocking around those abs of steel.
It is interesting that like things change like that. Like my migraines now are totally different than they used to be. Like a completely different experience, but I have no idea like why, but.
Well, the reason why my cramps are different now is because they cut my uterus open.
I know that, yeah.
Yeah, but you had back surgery, which I reckon will have had an impact. Pressure headaches. I reckon so. I think James has experienced that as well.
Weird. Okay, Samantha, are there any updates on the meetup details? I think I have my outfit planned. Can you tell I'm excited?
It's going to be sometime between, I would say, 10 a.m. in Northwest London in one of the big parks. I think maybe we should start in Primrose Hill, but I want to get the location exactly right because I don't want people wandering around the park for an hour looking for us and then it's time for lunch. So it's going to be 10 a.m. Northwest London, likely Primrose Hill.
I love Primrose Hill.
Who doesn't love Primrose Hill. So, I mean, it's literally like, it's a film set of London. It's incredible. And then we're going to walk up through Parliament Hill into Hampstead Heath. This is my master plan anyway. And then we're going to go to a pub that has this like vast beer garden. And it's got like one massive table, which I swear to God seats like 60 people. It's ridiculous. But also tables all around. And we're going to get that. I'm speaking, well, I've emailed twice now, the owner, but I just need to go. It's literally down the road. I just need to go drop in. Either we'll get there shortly before 12 and take over the whole area, or the owner will be gracious enough, which hopefully he will be, because he's known me since I was a little girl, to say, okay, I will say this day, I'm really sorry, guys, this area is taken. And then we're going to have lunch, and it is literally like, it's completely on you. You know, we're not charging anyone for anything. You can come eat what you want. Don't eat what you don't, whatever. We don't care. Hang out for a couple of hours and then you're all free to do whatever you want. Remember the last meetup? Everyone went out after. Where did they go? Can't even remember.
I don't know. Yeah. There was, yeah, groups that did stuff. So yeah, good. All right. Liz, hi. Wanted to ask Emma a question re menopause and HRT. I'm in early stages of perimenopause and I've tried the combined HRT, but it made me evil. Do you know if GPs will ever recommend estrogen only HRT and if I'm still having periods? I know there's a small increase in uterine cancer, but that seems lower than the risk of divorce if I continue combined HRT. Main symptoms are achy joints and fatigue. I have booked a GP appointment, but it's 3 weeks away and I'd like to be armed with info. Thanks. If I'm totally honest, I don't fully know, because it's very case dependent and your own risk profile dependent. And they'll weigh up like what symptoms you're having and maybe different medication. Like, what the good thing is that you're going to go and speak to them. And I would definitely write down kind of how you're feeling, any symptoms that you're having, and come with that information. But in terms of like how doctors would prescribe in certain situations, then that's like beyond my scope of practice.
Surely there would be estrogen dominant forms of HRT. I'd be very shocked.
No, that will be, the combined will be estrogen dominant, but not any progesterone can impact risk of other things like certain cancers and things, depending on where you are in menopause status.
Let us know, Liz. Keep us updated on where you're at with that.
All right. Canchan's just saying, all I heard was beer garden and pub lunch. Yeah, and that sounds like a great plan.
But yeah, and Canchan, it'll be after your shoot as well. So you can have like an untracked meal and relax and enjoy it. Right. Okay. What have we got? Trish Allen. Hi, ladies. I'm loving The Method so far. Should we change the name of it to just
The Method? The Method.
I love it. Yeah,
it's like when Nike used to have like the tick and then written Nike underneath, and now they're just the tick because everyone knows what they are.
I went to go see the film Air last week. Do you know what that is?
Oh, I've watched half of it. Oh, no. It was on Amazon.
Who made you watch half a film? You did not do that on your own.
Well, yeah, I know, I didn't do it on my own, but
part of the drama. You watched half of it. What happened halfway through, Emma?
Wow, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, those pre-married days. If James tried to touch me during a film, I'd be like, stop it. So yeah, how good is it? I love it.
Well, it was good up to halfway. Yeah, I was into it. I also started watching, again, not my own choice, but Selling Sunset.
Oh God, Emma, you're better than that. Even I'm better than
I that. Loved Seeing the Houses.
Oh no, I love that too, but I think
the drama part is like, yeah, but I can see why you wouldn't like it, because it's like shitty celeb drama.
I hate drama. Or
like mini celeb.
Nothing. If it's not the Kardashian drama, I don't want to know about it. I'm not interested.
I just love Seeing in the Houses. And then when they're like, how many million? I'm like,
oh. I know. Yeah, I know. It's that form of, it's just another form of escapism. My mum loves it too. And then every time anyone talks, she's like, forward, forward, forward. okay, anything on the live? Oh no, wait, we're doing this. I got one sentence in and we had a whole other discussion. Right, I'm loving the method so far. I can't believe how many new habits I've been able to implement despite hearing about them for so long. But I have a few niggling questions that I really could use some help with. One, I'm 43, 5'4", 127 lbs, and I'm struggling to get the balance between my protein and my calories right. As a result of years of poor dieting and fasting, I'm just not used to eating so much volume throughout the course of the day. Chloe suggested that I start with 80 grams of protein, which is far more doable, but now I can't seem to get above 1400 calories without overdoing my fat or carbs. So we don't give you fat or carb calculations. We give you a minimum, ideally of fat, which is 0.5 gram per kg of lean mass. Ideally keeping in a kind of 40 gram-ish region, give or take. So you're not overdoing fat or carbs. If you're getting in the protein that I set you, and you're hitting 1400 calories, you can have more fats and carbs and come up. I know it's probably too soon to measure my progress. I don't know whether I need to take a look at my total calories for my height and weight. I love the feeling of getting a higher calorie allotment than I've ever been allowed, but I'm also having anxiety setting myself up with too many. For context, I've always been told 1200 calories for my size, which I find incredibly hard to stick to, so no thanks. I would like you to aim for a bare minimum of somewhere in the region of 15 to 1700. And if you're getting the initial protein that I've set you up with, you can increase your fats and carbs and all carbs to get you there. Emma?
Oh my God, sorry. Nothing to add.
I find it easy to focus on steps, but I really hate the gym. Can you please explain the why behind these hard workouts? My brain keeps telling me I can do less than 3 hard training workouts and still achieve great results. With light resistance training over time, like yoga, Pilates, or plyometrics workouts. Please change my thinking here. Emma, over to you.
So you're right in that you could do less and still get some results. Will you get better results if you do these workouts? Yes. Could you do easier workouts, like that would be more at the end of the spectrum of like minimum effective dose, as opposed to the other end of the spectrum, which is like maximum or recoverable volume, right? That's where you're going to get the best results possible. But if you wanted to do like the bare minimum and still get the benefits, I would still be focusing on resistance training. But what you could do, and you would still get great results doing this, like I set my mom up with like a kind of like minimal effective dose type workout thing of like how little can you actually do and still get a benefit of just like, to be honest, it was like a few different machines each day that would like work her, well, 3 days a week that would work different parts of her body, 3 sets of 10, you're in and out within like 20, 30 minutes. It's not particularly hard. You can obviously push yourself as hard as you want, but are you still going to get a huge benefit to that if you're not used to resistance training? Yes, absolutely. So if you're really put off by these workouts and then you're like, to the extent that I don't actually want to go to the gym, do something that's much easier. And not that these workouts are mega easy, but actually looking at Chloe's back and knee supported workouts where it's mostly machine based, which is not necessarily easier, but kind of easier on your mind a little bit. You just sit on a machine and whatever, lift the weight, then that might be a good place to start.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is, why do you hate the workouts? And given that you put the word hard in front of it, it is normal to have some anxiety. Even bodybuilders and powerlifters at the highest level, rugby players before a contact training session, when you know it's going to be really hard on you, it's normal to have some sense of anxiety and fear going into it, that you do have to channel and you have to, you know, figure it out. You know, that's why we talk about the rate of perceived exertion. Imagine if you were doing a heavy leg session every day. Like it takes its toll psychologically. So if it is the hard element of it, I agree with Emma. Let's do something that's easier. So the machines are going to be easier because they're so much more focused on isolation, really, than compound, which makes that rate of perceived exertion like just drop way down. So machines are going to be better, but they're also going to be just as effective. You are still loading the muscle and you are still resistance training effectively. Again, how hard you make it, you know, you're going to do 4 sets of 15, are you going to do three sets of 10, are you going to do three sets of five? You know, all these will be harder or easier to, because of different factors. So I think, Emma, I think that's a perfect place to go. Maybe three sets of 8 to 10. Perfect. On the machine workouts. But you are completely wrong to think that you are going to get as good a results doing yoga, Pilates and plyometrics as you are weightlifting. It's not going to happen, both from a health perspective and from a physique perspective and just from a biological muscle mass perspective. Like, it's not going to happen. So yeah, I hope that changed your thinking as requested.
I'm sure it will have. Okay, where are we on the live? Okay. Hello, I have a question on protein. While my goal is a minimum of 100 grams, I'm trying to hit more like 110 to 120, but I find myself struggling to even hit 100 grams if I don't include protein powder or a protein bar, which feels quite processed. I usually have protein powder or eggs and ham in my breakfast, and then tuna, chicken, turkey, or red meat with veggies for lunch and dinner. Any tips on how to boost it? My average also goes down during trips where I struggle to hit more than 60 to 70 grams a day, even if I order meat on my plate. Thanks. So it will, pardon?
Yeah, I just want to pick up on the ham and then the processed protein powder thing. It's just, anyway, Emma, go.
What? Ham's not processed.
Everything's processed. Oh, ham.
Anyway, yeah, there is an element here of like almost like the natural fallacy where if something's natural, it's inherently better, and anything that's not natural is bad. There are huge benefits to processed foods. Too much processed foods, I would say, is a bad thing, but actually, we get a lot of essential parts of our diet from processed foods now. And I can't remember the exact, I'm sure I had the stats on this the other day because I was writing something on it. I wrote there. Okay, yeah, here it is. Yeah, in the UK, we get 75% of our magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, and retinol from ultra-processed foods.
Yeah.
So, like, those being fortified with certain things that we actually need. Yeah. It's definitely not a bad thing to have in your diet. You just don't want to have too much processed foods. And what I would say is, like, probably looking at something like a sort of 10%, 10 to 20% processed food, it isn't a bad thing. I think we're way too black and white about this. I actually think some, like, if you were looking at optimal healthy diet in the UK, there would be some processed foods in there. It just not a lot, right? Not the vast majority of your diet being processed. I think you're right to think about it. But like I said, we're so black and white that, like, processed food isn't good or bad. The poison's in the dose. So having all processed food, that is bad, right? Having no processed food, I would say that's probably bad to an extent as well, because you're getting so many of these important nutrients within that, and then also because it just makes your life a hell of a lot harder to be always avoiding processed foods when they're so readily available. Mm-hmm. And it's quite hard to, like, you know, to eat socially and eat on the go without using processed foods. You can do it, it's just there's not really any benefit to it. So I would, I'm quite conscious of this, and my diet's, I mean, I don't eat meat, but, like, similar to yours in the fact that, like, I will eat a protein bar or a protein shake every day. And then I'll also have, like, fake chicken or something, which is obviously shockingly quite processed. But the vast majority of my diet is, like, whole foods.
Mm.
And I think that's fine. I would more question the thought process as opposed to anything else.
I agree. I think having 1 to 2 whey protein products in your diet every day, especially like one, is a really good thing in terms of a complete amino acid profile, and in terms of what especially we want you doing here on the EC method. Whey is up there as one of, if not the best, in terms of grams of leucine per serving comparatively to everything else. I think eggs is second, and so basically it's a good thing. it's also good that it's processed, and in comparison to something like ham, for example, there's you know, like out and out direct studies linking processed meats to quite ugly health ramifications, whereas there isn't that behind whey. And whey, it's a good thing that whey's processed, especially if you find that you, and I think I personally think everyone is to a very slight degree, whether they are aware of it or not, any issues with lactose on any level, you know, a whey protein isolate is a really nice way to get that protein in there without, because it's so processed, without worrying about it playing with your GI tract. So, and I agree with Emma. I think your diet sounds brilliant, and I think that maybe the kind of the understanding behind processed foods needs to be branched out a little more. Did you write that post, Emma, the one that you just searched, or are you in the middle of writing it?
I wrote a post about it, but it actually comes from a really good article by Dr. Nicola Guess, who is phenomenal. She does a lot of research in diabetes, so that's what I've seen her speak a couple of times, but she has a Substack and it's really, really good. So anyone who's looking for excellent research, I would head there. But this is part of it, and she says, in general, individual foods have less of an effect than we think. I would be surprised if 100% unprocessed diet was demonstrably, what a great word, demonstrably healthier than a 90% unprocessed diet. So I'll eat my mycoprotein, so like soy and stuff, or soy burger, but also have a legume at lunch and dinner, and also eat loads of fruit and veggies, nuts, seeds. And she actually says, also shout out to my other ultra processed food, protein powders.
Yeah, and we talked about dairy. I mean, all dairy, which whey is, but all dairy needs to be processed. And mycoprotein is another fantastic example. It's a complete protein that often, not always, so always check the label, but often is a vegan source of complete protein, and that's ultra processed. And again, like I just think, yeah, there's a bit of a misunderstanding now. And yeah, I think it's the whole clean eating movement. I mean, the amount of times I get asked if, do you know what's so funny? Even if like Diet Coke is the reason why someone isn't losing weight. And I'm like, what? I don't understand this big demonizing of processed food movement. It's just so beyond anyone's like needed scope of worry.
Yeah. I had a question today that was like, during the menopause, does alcohol make you store fat? And it's like, nothing. It's still, you know, you can drink as much Diet Coke as you want. You still can't store calories that aren't there, right? So if Diet Coke is making you then crave more food and eat more, then yes, that might be a problem. But for most people, that has a more suppressant effect. It certainly does for me.
Yeah, the studies by and large show that by incorporating diet sodas into your diet, participants actually lost more weight because it allowed them to have that sweet thing, or I guess that alcohol replacement or whatever it is, and help them be more adherent to the diet. So the numbers don't lie, and the numbers say it's likely to help you be more adherent to diet. Now, there are counter studies that say that it can make you crave sweet foods. But actually, again, when you look at the different trial groups, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it? So there's another claim that it's like, well, Diet Coke tricks your body into thinking that sugar's going to come, and so it spikes insulin.
Yeah, it's bad
to me. True to like an extent, like it does a little bit. So I remember when I was at uni, I did this study on carbohydrate mouth rinsing. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Like nobody really does it because it's not that effective, but it has been shown to slightly improve performance just rinsing your mouth out with carbohydrates.
Oh, I do know what it is. Yeah.
You get this, like they call it, I can never say this word, systolic phase insulin response. So like this tiny insulin response, and essentially it's your brain thinking, oh, there's something sweet in your mouth. Because this is how quickly your body responds to food. Like there's something, a sweet taste in your mouth, so it'll get ready for there might be food incoming, let's increase insulin. This is to a tiny extent, by the way. If it massively increased insulin, then you would go into a coma.
Yeah.
So like it's very small, but it was interesting because it was more to do with like the reward centers in your brain being heightened, and thus you could push yourself that little bit harder. So I did it on like Wingate cycle tests, and people who had like the carbohydrate mouth rinse had a slightly, they cycled for slightly further. But the one thing was that I think it was quite a poorly designed study because I don't think we had a version that was just like a sweetener without the, yeah. So whether it's the sweet taste or it has to actually be carbohydrate, I don't think I tested that anyway. I'm sure it's been tested.
I mean, yeah, but of all the modalities of cardio to test it on, whoo.
Well, yeah, and it's not really cardio. It's like, yeah, I guess it is cardio just.
Yeah, in the worst way.
Horrible. Okay, Debbie. The weight machines were my gateway drug to making it into the weight room. Going on week two, lifting weights in actual weight room, never felt stronger. Yeah, I think sometimes using the machines because you feel like you can't really go wrong and they feel a bit safer, which they absolutely are, really helps.
Oh, I have good news for everyone from the last round. Becky woke up from her coma, I think yesterday. It's quite a big deal because she didn't wake up when she should have, and so there was a lot of worry. But she's awake. I'm getting more details. Sorry, I've got a frog in my throat. I'm getting more details, so I'll do a post in the group later today.
Oh, it sounds like you're crying.
I'm not. I would. I mean, it's joyous.
It is very sad. Well, I mean, it's great that she's awake. That's excellent news.
It was scary because, again, like I say, Daniel and everyone thought she'd wake up weeks ago. So the fact that it was a scary time, but she's awake. And I've messaged him back, and I'm just getting as many details as I can. And when I have a full update, I'll put it in the group.
Good. Okay, we're up to it on the live.
Okay. So, Hi, lovelies. Quick question on hip thrusts. How do I get it so I can feel that burn in my butt? I'm currently only getting a burn in my quads. Do you think I might be having my legs too wide? No, that's not it. I know that sounds silly as I'm writing it, but I hope you know what I mean. Thank you. So it'll be one of two things. One, you need to have your legs at a perfect 90 degree angle. And if you're still feeling it in your quads at that point, try slightly farther out. Too far out, you'll feel it in hamstrings. Too close in, you'll feel it in quads. 90 degrees should really hit glute. Failing that, go out a little bit further. Second, I remember when I trained with Kanchan actually, and she was like, why do you do it like that? And I was like, it's the only way I feel it in my ass. There is a really nice hack for getting your glutes to really power the weight up in a hip thrust if you're not already feeling it, which is toes slightly out, and it's called a scoop thrust. And if you can't really feel it without doing that, you're one of 50%, I would say, of clients. It's really normal to have to do it. It's kind of like, imagine like you're picking something up from the floor with your butt cheeks. And then when you lock out, I always say this and I mean it, because if you don't do this, if you hyperextend your back, your glutes are not doing anything. So as soon as you lock out that movement, you really want to make sure that you lock out with an engaged core. Okay. You don't want to go thrust all the way up and get that kind of concave in your lower spine, because that's not your glutes. You want your glutes to be holding that weight. And one thing that I would say, something to be conscious of when you're doing it, I think on camera, it looks like quite a demonstrative, for lack of a better word, like quite a demonstrative movement. It's not. A hip thrust is very much your glutes are powering that weight up and holding it there. And it can be quite a small or, you know, kind of non-impressive range of motion, and you'll really feel it. I think it's on camera, and when these girls are doing these like really big thrusts, and the way that it's filmed from top to bottom, it looks sometimes bigger than it is. So bear that in mind. You know, really remember that your glutes are the things that are powering your hips up and then locking out in place. Keep that mind to muscle connection.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had an ad pop up for a resistance bar and a band set. Would you recommend that I use these at home along with my dumbbell set? It's saying up to 90 kgs worth of resistance, Emma.
I've never had good experience. I've tried them at like expos and things. I don't really like them.
Why?
I don't know. It just isn't really, like, as much as it says it's up to 90, it's a very different feeling. I would probably just buy, and also probably quite expensive, I'd probably just buy a couple of resistance bands, and they're more versatile and you can probably get more out of them.
Okay. anything on the
Have you used it?
Mm-mm.
No.
I don't really use bands. I'm not going to lie. I mean, like, when we had our home gym and we were at gym and we were in COVID, I used them to help progress my pull-ups. I remember I was quite lean in the first lockdown, so like I used them to help me progress my pull-ups. I don't really use them.
Mm. Yeah, I think if you're at home, they're useful. But if you've got dumbbells, like, I think you'd be better off using the dumbbells than the random bar band thing.
100% agree with that.
Okay, just load of people saying fabulous news about Becky.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Victoria Fraser again. I saw you mention a refeed day in a comment. Please, can you confirm what this is and how you manage it? If using when you know you're having a meal out, or occasion where it might be hard for you to manage your calories or protein targets that day. Also, how do you combine it with banking calories beforehand? I'm trying to change my mindset to knowing how to deal with this without letting it derail me afterwards. So quite honestly, guys, unless you have a massive goal, like, I don't know, Tejal did, of getting on stage and competing, if you find that you have the odd meal out, like in your fat loss journey, like welcome to the real world. Actually, if I'm going to be totally honest, what I'd rather you guys did, unless you had a massive physique goal like Tej did, what I'd rather you guys did was just go out, don't track and make smart decisions. Like, don't fall in the fuck it bucket. Keep an eye on what you're choosing. And if you really want, just to cushion the blow, do bank, say 100 calories 6 days in advance. So then you know that if you do go a little bit over, but still try not to, it's not an excuse to fall in the fuck it bucket, but you do know that if you do go a little bit over, it's okay in a way, because you kind of cushioned yourself by banking 100 calories for 6 days beforehand, and or seven, you know, whatever. And then I would say go, and again, make smart choices and enjoy it. Now, if you are somebody who's like, no, I've just gotten into the swing of tracking, I'm quite enjoying it, and I really want to know how to do this, yes, you can bank and you can have a refeed day. So come up really, like, I would say 10 to 20% in calories, like I would say 200 to 300 calories. And then you're going to have quite a lot to play with. And I wouldn't weigh in the next day, because your weight will likely spike if you do eat that many calories. But you'll have quite a nice bit of room to maneuver. It's really up to you, but I personally would prefer the first option.
Yeah, I agree. And you don't need to call it a refeed day. Like, I think sometimes people just do that to, like, it's almost like the rewording of a cheat day. Like, you don't need to call it that. You could, like, I'm just going out.
I disagree. I think it's the opposite. I think it's a really nice way of saying to people, this is not a fucking cheat day. This is, we're coming.
Yeah, but why do you also need to call it a refeed day? It's just like, I'm going out for a meal.
His words matter, and semantics, unfortunately.
But I think that also can have connotations of, I only deserve to do this if I need to refeed myself in order to train more, or, in, you know, it's still like, I could only have this food in order to fuel myself, which you're right. Like, it depends how people interpret it. And I think for some people, if they're coming from a very strict place, then actually that mindset is helpful for them to then be like, okay, I can fuel myself, I can eat a little bit more, and hey, there's going to be a benefit in that my workout might be better tomorrow. I think, like, whether anyone actually has ultimate relationship with food, but you shouldn't even really need to call it anything. It's just like, yeah, you're at maintenance, so you can have a meal out, track it within your calories, balance it out over the week.
Yeah, but I think even, but then, so if we go down that road, you can be like, well, I don't like the word maintenance, why can't we just say have, and we can go on, and
I would agree with that, like, yeah, okay, maintenance, but what would you call it? Just living your life, really.
Yeah, but then you can go down deeper and deeper and deeper. You set a precedent and you go down into a spiral, into nothing having any, we're talking about categories, right? Categories. And I actually think, like, when compared to, I guess, when me and you first started and it was cheat days, and then everyone suddenly realized, like, how massively detrimental to your mental health and relationship with food, as it was to your physical kind of health and your long-term results, like how bad it was, coming up with refeed day was a necessary thing. Now, it might, again, it might progress and evolve into maintenance day, and maybe it'll progress and evolve into that. But I mean, no,
not even maintenance day, but just like, why do you need to, you know, like, I'm having.
But then you have to obliterate deficit. Are you in a calorie deficit, or are you just like, what do you do? And we just get into a really funny thing. And I think this is like, so the trend now. So a la mode. I'm like, a la mode. Well, it's like everyone's just like, oh, I don't like that time. I don't like that. I don't like that. And it's like, well, we do actually need some terms, I think, to.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I wouldn't say that for, I do think the whole like on track, off track, that can be problematic for people as well. Yeah. But then it's like, well, how do you describe, like, not that you're on track or off track, but that day you ate a bit more than you should have. And then it's like, you're right. You actually lose touch with your audience because you're trying to like say everything with caveats, and then actually you end up saying nothing.
Yeah, it's true. But I do find this like terminology these days, everyone just loves to jump on this terminology bandwagon. You shouldn't say that, you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't. And it's just like, well, you know what I fucking mean, like everyone knows what I mean. What did I see the other day, Emma? Last night I meant to message you, someone in our industry, like shredded, incredibly lean, like the kind of lean that you don't get unless you're in a significant calorie deficit, like basically saying that she doesn't restrict and she has a really healthy, happy relationship with food, with like clips of herself like eating all of this junk food. And I was like, this is so incredibly unhelpful. And I just really wanted to be like, babe, you don't always look that lean. And I don't think you've ever looked that lean. You did not do this eating junk food. Please stop lying to your audience. It really,
I already know who it is.
Stop it. It's not fair. It's
so unreal. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's not fair to someone who's overweight and is like, how on earth? And then I can understand why people are like, she must just have a fast metabolism, or it must be genetics, because when I do exactly that same thing,
I gain weight.
You know, it doesn't happen to me.
I was really like, because you know, the reason I have such a problem with it is that when people applaud it, thinking that it's doing them, if it's not doing anyone any favors, because it's not real. Like, you're not going to sit there with no restriction around your diet, eating junk food all the time, and get the most shredded, as in like stage level lean, you've ever got. It's not going to fucking happen. It's not real. And that's why it bothers me. I just wish there was more like, oh, these, you know, I've been dieting, I'm in a deficit, da 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 da. That was my refeed day when I was eating that. Or like,
yeah.
Bombs, I'm not even gonna say, because I don't want to go into, I don't want to give away who it is because I actually like them, but I'm just a bit like, oh, please.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same, and I hope I'm transparent enough to be like, no, I normally, like, I do eat mostly the same stuff most days.
Yeah, you do.
But then, like, the thing is, I'm not going to post that up because it looks awful, right? And people are like, that food is horrendous. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm not a chef. But then what I will post is like the amazing Thai that I had on the weekend. But I'm like, I don't have that every single night.
Oh no, you, Emma, you're so responsible with your messaging. You'll never fall into that bracket. Also, because I just think as well, you've got too much self-respect.
Yeah. And the thing is, it does take hard work. Sorry, but like, there is no woman who maintains abs who doesn't like
work.
Say it's not necessarily that I think I work hard for it now, it's just like a byproduct of how I live my life. But if anyone else looked at my habits day to day, looked at what I do every day, they'd be wow. Like, yeah, that's why you're lean.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But like, the fact that you have the understanding of human nature to even know that, well, it's because we're coaches, I guess, but you're like, oh, what I do every day that really suits my life and I'm really happy to do, actually I'm in a way quite lucky that I'm like that way inclined because I get this out of it. Whereas like some people really fucking struggle, and I'll tell you now, guys, sitting on your ass eating, you know, I'm not sitting that well, yeah, eating loads of junk food and then being like, wow, I am stage level lean, is a crock of shit. Like, it's just not real. So please don't buy into that nonsense.
I know. And then what, are they just trying to sell something off? But I don't know.
I know, that's what I'm thinking too.
It's such unrealistic expectations if we were like, yeah, like, you know, we don't do tracking, we're not gonna, and then, oh, I don't know, yeah. What would they sell off the back of that? No one would ever get results.
I don't understand. I'm a bit confused by it. Well, I'm not, do you know what it screams to me? I made a bed that I have to lie in, so I'm gonna go off and do this over here, but I'm going to keep with that previous narrative so that nobody calls me out. And I totally get that, because everyone on Instagram's out to get you.
Yeah. I think that is hard though. You put yourself in a box of that. And we both know that, like, from knowing people behind the scenes of like, yeah, really body positive on Instagram. And then you know that actually they're trying to diet with you in private and they're really struggling with their relationship with food. And then the next thing you see is their Instagram being like, so happy, even though I'm a size 12 now. And you're like, wow, that's just like, it's so, I get it's still a useful message, but it's just not true. And then, yeah, it's very misleading.
Two of my last clients have publicly bashed both women with muscle mass and dieting in general, and then come to me and ask for exactly those things. And it's like, I know it sounds good. We all know it sounds good. Like, everyone fucking hates me. Like, what? At least be authentic and stop pretending you're authentic. Like, it's so boring. Anyway.
Okay, right. We'll finish with this. Sarah, I've already freaked out about my holiday, which hasn't even happened yet. I voiced my concerns on Facebook and the replies have been so helpful to my mindset. Thank you to the EC method. You guys rock. So supportive and non-judgmental. That's us.
They said after having a really judgmental rant.
Yeah, but not to our client. Like, we're not judgmental in the
East. Nice to you guys. I say this to my parents all the time. They're like, oh, they were really nice to me. I'm like, of course they were nice to you. They weren't anyone else. Yeah, you're Richard and Judy. Everyone else gets the shit into this bit. All right, guys.
Oh, I was listening to the end of an audiobook the other day. And like one of the big like claims was like such and such a, I can't even remember which book it was. I've listened to a few recently. It was like, won or was nominated for the Richard and Judy book prize thing or whatever. I was like, wow, it must be huge now.
It's massive. It's unbelievable. They changed the landscape of publishing. It's amazing. But I said it to them the other day. I was like, I won't say which one said what answer. I was like, they were reading like the 75th book this month. And I was like, do you guys feel like you made a rod for your own back and you used to love reading and now it's like a job and you hate it? And one of them was like, no, I love it. And the other one was like, yes.
You seen what Reese Witherspoon has done?
No, what?
It's really clever. And I can't remember the full details, but it's something like she has a book club that will then turn books into films, but she buys the right to the film.
A production company.
Yeah, but like it's like her little funnel of business is like insane, and it all starts with this book club. And then I'll send you it, but it's like it blew my mind. I was like, that is freaking genius, and it looks so organically done.
Yeah, she's a smart cookie. She's a really smart cookie until she's drunk and starts abusing police officers. But apart from that, she's a really smart cookie.
But like, I always find it impressive when there's certain pop stars or celebrities or like film stars or something that like, she's not the most famous film star in the world, right? But she's up there with making the most money because she's actually business savvy as well. And she's like, right, given this platform, I can make this happen. And I think we see this all the time with social media, like having worked with so many coaches now, everyone thinks that a big following means they're making a load of money. That's not. Like, it depends on what the business model is behind it. And some people are really smart with it and other people aren't. And like, she's just such a good example of someone who's like, platform, I'm gonna make it work for me.
She's very, she left acting to complete her Ivy League education, which I think is in law. And then she went back into act. Like, she's a fucking smart cookie. I think Natalie Portman did the same. There's like only a handful of them, but yeah, these guys aren't fucking around. They're fucking smart.
Very impressive. I'm gonna look it up.
I'm gonna have to go in exactly 7 minutes.
Oh, don't worry, I need to go as well.
Love that we're just hanging out here. We've got
right problems. Okay, so it's called Hello Sunshine. The company CEO is a media tech industry it curates a book club,
right?
She announces a new book every month. That's not how it
is. That's planting. No,
but I mean, like, I can't see which. Then it like goes into productive or something.
Hang on. So she has a book club, Reese Witherspoon book club, and once a month she says this is the book in the book club, and then she basically makes the book a bestseller just with her name and I suppose her understanding of good literature, and then she turns it into a screenplay for the small or big screen, which then automatically has a built-in audience. She did this with, what's it called, Where the Crawd...
Oh my God, her production company is worth $900 million.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's very clever. It is. Is really...
She is the world's richest actress.
Is she?
Yeah, this is in Forbes.
Oh yeah, because this came out the other day, didn't it? The Forbes Rich List. I didn't read it.
I haven't. I just looked up Reese Witherspoon.
If she's the world's richest actress, yeah, that's incredible.
And I would certainly not the. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what's more impressive. If she was like, if people were like, Beyonce's the richest pop star, I'd be like, yeah, probably. Yeah. But if someone was like, don't know, can't think of anyone, Lily Allen, I'd be like, wow, that's impressive. She's done something behind the scenes.
What is Lily Allen? She's acting now, isn't she? I think she lost loads of weight and now she's like mad into her health.
Really? I don't think she was ever overweight, was she?
I don't think she was never overweight, no, but she's now like tiny and like mad into
Sorry, what?
Her and Rita Ora, tiny. Her and Rita Ora are now just like, she loves showing off their abs on Instagram. I'm like, all right.
Tantran saying 50 Cent is very business savvy. He made a mint on vitamin water. But also, didn't he go bankrupt as well?
I think so.
Wasn't that thing about Rihanna went bankrupt? She's like, now I think she's very wealthy. But like at one point, like no one told her that, like, if she couldn't just spend all her money, then she had
none. I've heard.
And she tried to sue her financial advisor for it.
Yeah, I'm not, fuck, you wouldn't want Rihanna coming out to get you, would you? I've heard some of the best stories about any celebrity I've ever heard in my life about Rihanna, ever.
Like, as in, like...
I won't repeat them, but I would like to be with Rihanna, very much so.
She does seem pretty cool.
She's on my bucket list.
Maybe that's what that song is about. Bitch better have my money.
Yeah, did you not see that video? That's why I'm like, oh, you wouldn't want to piss Rihanna off, would you? Bet she wrote that about her financial advice.
Yeah. Right, okay. Well, that was excellent.
Bye, guys.
We will see you. We back on Friday?
Yeah, someday this week. I'll double check it. I'll be in France, but we'll do it anyway.
Okay, sweet.